Tango Tango Papa 1790, November 6, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wilser with you, coming to you this evening from Effingham, Illinois. So I had to come back to work today. Today was the day I was coming back to work, and so I called, or I didn't have to call them. I just sent them a message this morning saying I was ready to go, and they sent a load offer that... they sent a load. It picked up at Springfield, Missouri, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that delivers to Avon, New York, on the 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. So should have enough time to get there. I've made it to Effingham, and I've still got, I don't know, without looking, probably 750 more miles to go. So I've got all day tomorrow, and then part of the day, Wednesday. So part of the day Thursday. So should be able to make it. So it's kind of a rainy, cooler day today. Sort of drizzly. I'm not exactly sure what the temperature here is at Effingham. It's not terribly cool. It's somewhat chilly, but so far not enough to really cause me to turn any heat on. It was warm in here whenever I shut the truck off, so I'd say it's probably in the high 50s anyway. It was warm when I shut the truck off, and I've been here now probably for about an hour. And I've got several lights on inside the cab here, and that in addition to me being in here, so far everything's staying pretty warm. Let me reach up here and I'll grab my phone and look at the phone widget. It says 58 degrees, so it's pretty close. I'm usually pretty close on guessing. Now it says 60. I made it refresh. So 60 degrees here. Low is supposed to be 52, so it's 60. Very interesting. So anyway, then it says it's clear. So back to work. Nose back to the grindstone. I figured something out while I was home. You know, for a long time, I've used this Fast Track for this USB sound card. I've used it for quite a number of years. And periodically I would have problems with buzzing and popping noises. And I sort of decided, well, it, you know, Wi-Fi caused it. And then also the Verizon hotspot itself seemed to cause problems. Back when, before I had the Verizon hotspot, of course, I had a USB version of the hot, or it wasn't a hotspot, it was a USB 3G modem plugged into the computer, and depending, you know, I could get some noise off of that. But I figured something out. Number one, this USB sound card, I can't think of the name of it now that I just said. The problem that it has is it's got a plastic body. It's a decent little thing, and it was, I think I paid $99 for it. It's Fast Track is the name of it. Paid $99 for it whenever, and it's been a nice, you know, I've used it for a number of years now. Thing seems pretty durable, but it, you know, that was the problem. It has a plastic housing. It, you know, instead of being made of metal, it's made of plastic. And so there's metal, if you have a metal device, the metal sort of creates what's known as a Faraday cage, which blocks radio waves. And of course, since this is a plastic housing, there's nothing to stop blocking the radio waves. So I was experimenting when I was at home, and I found out I have this, it's kind of a, it's an antenna, USB. I bought it, I don't know, probably 3 years ago or more, 4 years ago. It's a USB, you know, the idea is that you would plug it in, and it's a long-range USB Wi-Fi antenna. It's, you know, it's Wi-Fi, you plug it in, and it's a Wi-Fi card, but it's also an antenna. And the idea would be that you could, if you found an open network, that you could kind of tap into it long range. Well, the problem nowadays is that most networks are locked down, so I found that just never really used it. And then that was especially true after, you know, nowadays, since I've got this Verizon hotspot, there's really no point for it. But I found a really good use for this thing. If I, right now, what I've done, I'm sitting here back in my sleeper, and I've got the computer here and on a little pull-out desk, and then I've got this fast track with the wires plugged into it, sort of laying on my bunk, and then, of course, I'm sitting on the edge of the bunk, and so I've got this USB antenna, which is in the box that it was originally shipped in, because that's just where I stored it. I've got it just kind of sitting there, sort of blocking the, you know, in between the computer and the fast track. And I'm not hearing any buzzing or popping. Everything seems to be, at least in my headphones, everything seems to be perfectly quiet. And so that's been the a problem with this fast track, is that it's not, I guess because it has a plastic housing, it's just not well isolated from it, you know, from noise. And of course you know, you have computers and Wi-Fi and so on and so forth. What do you got radio waves, and radio waves do what? They create noise. So fast track, great little device. The problem is that you need to isolate it, and it's pretty easy to isolate if you got a kind of a big, you know, this thing's probably, I don't know, about 18 inches square, metal. It's probably about, I don't know how thick, maybe not even quite an inch thick, and it's not solid metal, but, you know, it's got something else inside, but that is enough to block the radio waves. And so, learn something new. That's been a problem with Fast Track all along, is that it's got the plastic, it's basically a plastic case, plastic housing. So while I was home, I watched, of course, I watched a bunch of documentaries, and there were a couple of documentaries that I watched that were about football. And I'm not a football fan. I don't know how the game is scored. I really don't know what the point of it is. You know, so I don't know much about the game at all. And I certainly don't watch it. Now, of course, you can't avoid seeing it from time to time, you know, because there are televisions in different places, and public places, and they've got the thing, or maybe you go into somebody's house and they've got a football game on. And so I've never had any, zero interest in it, just absolutely no interest in it. So, But in any case, these documentaries that I watched, the first one that I watched, both of these were PBS Frontline documentaries. And to be honest, Frontline sort of tends to lean pretty far to the left. Of course, it's PBS, and they're pretty liberal. But it does tend to lean. It's sort of a left-leaning thing. But that being said, oftentimes they do present some very interesting information. You just have to be careful because they can be very selective. They can be very selective with their information, and then you end up with sort of a wrong picture at times, depending on, you know. But with this, the football thing, you know, there's all kinds of football fans, so I don't think they had too much of a political agenda with the football. But it's interesting. The problem, you know, with football, and it's kind of come to light in, I guess, in recent years. This first documentary I watched was about the NFL. And so, you know, there are a number of players that have retired from the NFL, you know, because they can't play in the, you know, that level of football very long, because it's long been known that, you know, you have football injuries. You know, people, you know, in high school football, you know, they'll injure their knees. That's very common. So it's long been known that football kind of causes injuries, just even, you know, like high school football. But what has happened in recent years, especially the professional football has become increasingly violent. And of course the fans, all of the fans want to see violence. They want to see the people, you know, really hitting each other hard and butting heads and knocking, you know, and if they can, knock the other person out with violence. And of course they keep, you know, they make themselves bigger, you know, sort of pump them, you know, pump iron or whatever, and then all the nutrition, and, you know, so you have a tendency, you know, and then they're selecting bigger and bigger players, especially for the NFL, and so these people, you know, the sheer force involved is being really amped up. In recent years, it's really been amped up. So you have these players that retire, and a number of them, you know, they may go along maybe 10 years or 12, 13 years after their retirement, and then they'll sort of all of a sudden just, you know, maybe get dementia, or they sort of go off the deep end, and then sometimes they'll even commit suicide. And so they've started studying the brains of many of these football players, the NFL ones that have died. They've designated, they want their, you know, that this the people that are studying this, and they've came up with a name for this. It's called CTE. But in any case, they've, you know, out of 48, as of this documentary, whenever they made it, 48 of the 49 brains that they'd looked at so far had clear signs of the CTE, and it's very distinctive looking. And once they look at it under a microscope, it's extremely distinctive looking, kind of a brain disease. And it seems to be related to just continual head trauma, lots and lots of head trauma. And it's even showing up in high school players and college players and even high school players. So, you know, but it's a problem. But what, you know, the thing that really struck me, why is it that, you know, the players have to keep getting bigger and the game has to become more violent? Why is that? What would cause that? you know, the normal answer would be, well, they're televising it and so on and so forth. It's beyond that. They've been televising football games for years. What the difference is, our society is more depraved. Our morals are more debauched. Our society is more depraved than ever. And people that are, in other words, more people are enemies with their conscience. Now, what do people that are enemies with their conscience have to do? What are people that are enemies with their conscience under a compulsion to do? They're under a compulsion to distract themselves. And one thing about distraction, whether it's cocaine or football or you name your distraction, whatever that distraction is, it has to, or if it's just somebody smoking pot or whatever, or taking LSD or whatever it is people do, it has to become more. It has to always be more. You know, if you're taking a painkiller, you know, if your doctor gives you some sort of a prescription painkiller, especially the addictive stuff, you generally, if you take two, you know, you've got to take more to try to achieve the same effect. You know, if you take very much of it, then you end up having to take more to try to achieve the same effect. You have sort of diminishing returns. And so that's certainly true with any distraction. You have to have more and more and more, and it has to be, you know, ever more kinky, more perverted, more, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it has to be more. Then it has to become more sophisticated, more violent. In the case of football, it has to, in order to try to achieve the same level of distraction, the same degree, effective degree of separation from guilty conscience. And so that's really what drives the increasing level of violence with football. And of course, there are people that, you know, the football players, many of them, they'll tell you, well, this is a risk. We know it's a risk. And but, you know, it's a risk. We want to make the money. We're making big money. We want to, you know, be able to, you know, make the money and so on and so forth. And you know, they'll deal with it later. Deal with, you know, make the money now, deal with the consequences later. And, but what's really, who's really at fault? You know, because people are trying, you know, of course this documentary was trying to blame the NFL. Who's really driving that? It's the fans, the so-called fans, the fanatics. They're the ones that are demanding. They're the ones that are creating the demand. Who is worse, the drug pusher or the drug user? The drug pusher is pretty despicable, but the user is worst. Because without the user, there could be no pusher. And without these fanatical, morally depraved fans, football fans, this increasing pressure, this drive for more and more violent football, ever more spectacular presentations, you know, they, on television, when they, you know, they really go all out with these, you know, like these NFL games. They really make them into spectacular, just really spectacles. That wouldn't, there would be no need for that. there would be no need for the increasing levels of violence. So there was that documentary, and then another one that I watched. It was very interesting. It was about, I read the descriptions. It was about Football High was the name of it, and it was another Frontline documentary. And you can probably watch these on the PBS website. You just look up pbs.com and then look for the television show Frontline and search for the term football, and you probably find these two documentaries. But in any case, the second one, I was kind of surprised. It was about football and high school and their sort of this thing that's happening, which I really wasn't aware of because I just don't pay attention to football at all or any kind of sports. But there's this thing that's been happening where even high school football is generating all kinds of interest, you know, and they're televising that, and that's kind of people are obsessing over the high school football players. So I was not aware of that, but in any case, so I started watching that, and I was kind of surprised because I had no clue that it was about a Christian school in Springdale, Arkansas, very close to where I live. It's called Shiloh Christian School. And there's this, I guess they call it a mega church, that this Dr. Ronnie Floyd is the pastor of the mega church. It's called Cross Church. And but he's, you know, they're behind this Shiloh Christian School. But the Shiloh Christian School has become very, they've gotten lots of notoriety because of their football team. And, but this was about, primarily it was about the Shiloh Christian Academy football team. But I had no idea that they were showing high school football on ESPN, you know, and they have the commentators, and I had no idea, no clue that that was going on. And why that has happened, because maybe at one time you had, you know, the NFL was popular, and then it started, that wasn't enough. And so then they folded in the college football, you know, and then that became kind of a really big deal, and that's certainly a big deal in Arkansas. You know, you got the University of Arkansas there, and that's big. You know, they make a lot of money. The university makes a ton of money off the football program, and so does the city. You know, the whole area, the whole region benefits from those games. You know, especially the home games, because you have all of these thousands of people that stream in to fill up that stadium there in Fayetteville, Arkansas, whenever they have one of these games. And that's big money. It's big business. But that's not enough. That's, you know, NFL plus the college stuff isn't enough. And now it's getting into high school football. It's absurd. Just absolutely absurd. But it's just a sign of of what is going wrong. It's just a result of, I guess would be a better way of putting it, a result of what has gone wrong with our depraved society. We're morally bankrupt. We're depraved. And so, you know, I was watching another one, or, you know, they were talking about, I don't know if you've heard this term, social engineering. And that's just a fancy term, and it, you know, the, you know, social engineering, you know, you could, they'll talk, usually when I first heard that term, they were talking about being, you know, somebody would call up a business or, you know, some sort of a business and get them to tell them their computer password or whatever, you know, pretending to be some, you know, some computer technician that needed the password or whatever, and it's called social engineering. But it's really, that's just a kind of a dress-up term for conning. So whenever you hear the term social engineering, it's just someone that's pulling a con. Con man, con woman. And of course, that's our government now. The people in charge of our government are con men, con men, con women. And they're using Saul Alinsky tactics. And a lot of people, they don't know who Saul Alinsky was. Saul Alinsky was, you know, he's kind of around in the 60s, the 1960s. And he... basically, he wrote a couple of books. I've talked about it a long time ago. One of the books, or the first one that he wrote, was Rules for Radicals. And basically, you know, I even bought the book after I heard of, you know, that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were sort of disciples of Saul Alinsky. I think he died in like 19, or maybe early, I guess he died in 1972. And he was born in 1909, but he wrote these books, and so basically he was a con man. He was taught advanced con man tactics. That's basically what these Rules for Radicals consist of. He was a con man, teaching conning tactics, how to con. And of course, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and certainly probably Barack Obama was his very best student or disciple of Saul Alinsky and his tactics. But again, do you blame the con man or the con woman for being a con? Or is it the fault? Where's the fault at? Where did the fault lie? I believe the fault lies with the person that can be conned. I think we've all probably, to one degree or another, we've been conned before. I've certainly been conned before, and I realized it afterwards. Now, the problem is that once you've been conned, your ego has a terrible time admitting that it was wrong. And then the wrong side of your ego will come up with all kinds of excuses as to why wrong is right, right is wrong, and that it was really okay that you got conned. Or we'll deny it altogether. So if you're conable, if you can be conned, or if I can be conned, if anyone can be conned, you deserve it. If I can be conned, I deserve to be conned. So let me read a little bit about Saul Alinsky. Saul David Alinsky, this is from Wikipedia. He was born on January 30th, 1909, died June 12th, 1972. Was an American community organizer. And writer. So you think community organizer, community agitator. He is generally considered to be the founder of modern community organizing, or just think community agitating. He is often noted for his book, Rules for Radicals. In the course of nearly four decades of political organizing, Alinsky received much criticism, but also gained praise from many public figures. His organizing skills were focused on improving the living conditions of poor communities across North America. Now, I don't believe that. It was improving his own conditions. In the 1950s, he began turning his attention to improving conditions in African-American ghettos, beginning with Chicago and later traveling to other ghettos in California, Michigan, New York City, and a dozen other trouble spots, quote-unquote. His ideas were adapted in the 60s by some U.S. college students and other organizers who used them as part of their strategies for organizing on campus and beyond. Time magazine once wrote that American democracy is being altered by Alinsky ideas, and conservative author William F. Buckley said he was very close to being an organizational genius. See, so they're sort of glossing it over. But the basic, you know, the rules for radicals, you know, he wrote that book and he's got these 12 rules for radicals. And it basically it teaches, you know, to ridicule people, ridicule your opponent and so on and so forth. And the only reason that works, if someone can ridicule you, that's pressure. What is ridicule but pressure? Ridicule you, and then that requires you to resent. So if you resent these Alinsky tactics, work. They work beautifully. If you're depraved, these tactics work beautifully. You can be conned. You can be, you know, you're just clay in someone like a Barack Obama's hands. You're just putty in their hands. And it serves you right. So social engineering is nothing but con man. Con woman, you're being conned. It's a scam. And Saul Alinsky was, taught how to, or he taught people how to... you know, sort of advanced scamming tactics. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Go to bed. I was tired when I stopped, and now I'm not quite as tired. Right now it's 7 minutes after midnight. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.
Yeah.